But with all of that said, let's dive into our message this morning. We're continuing on in our series. We are on week number 4 of Called by Name. We've been learning that He loves to call us by name, no matter our background, no matter our journey, that He knows us, He sees us, and He's calling us into things and out of others. But this morning, I want to lean in with a question that I think most of us can relate to, most of us have experienced. Ladies in this place or women in this place, especially moms, you have could probably attest to this better than most in this place. How many can ever say that they are a little bit busy? Sometimes it feels like you're carrying a little bit too much, where it seems like I just folded this and I just did this, and right behind, we were getting ready for someone to come over to our house yesterday, and we had some visitors and some friends, and the kids were doing different things. And so as a part of Mother's Day, I was helping. I always do a lot of the cooking, but I'm like, I'm going to lean into the cleaning, and that's not my favorite area. And so in that moment, we're going and we're doing some cleaning, we're putting things away, and then I turned around and we have a new puppy and we've got kids, and I'm like, we just cleaned that area. Ever have one of those moments where it just felt like it was never ending, and you're like, I'm just overwhelmed, I'm carrying too much, I'm so busy? And then even in the midst of the busyness, there's distractions that come, whether it's the phone calls, whether it's the death scroll. Most of us, if we're honest today, would say we are too busy. And we're going to look at an account of Scripture where Jesus talks to an individual, actually a very close friend, and reminds her that we're not called to live a life that is filled with being too busy or distracted, but instead we're called to live a life of devotion to Him. Because I think in our pace, in our culture, in our journey, and in the hectic pace of our world as a whole, it's left us like the title of our message today. Many of us are too busy for what matters most. So let's look at what Jesus would say to someone who in that moment where that devotion was there, but it got distracted and pulled her away from the thing that mattered most. She was doing the beautiful things, but she was missing the best thing. And I think most of us, if we're honest today, have had moments where we've done some beautiful and good things, but it's pulled us away from that which is the main thing, the best thing. So if you wouldn't mind, we're going to go to Luke 10 together, starting in verse 38 to 42, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and this is what it says this morning. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was, what's it say there? Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, or another translation, by much serving. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Have you ever thought that? Ever said that? Maybe even this morning. Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, or another translation, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. So this morning, we know we've got a bit of a situation. We know in our culture, in our society today, we wear busyness as a badge. It is something that is in our face. It is something that we're always dealing with. Most of us have one of these, and even when we know we shouldn't be, even today, probably in that second that you have, we go into a death scroll on social media because we live a life that is often distracted. It says that now we have almost the attention span of a goldfish, which is scary when you think about it. We bounce over here and over there, and I know sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes I struggle with focusing and sort of leaning into those areas. And we see Martha in this account, Mary and Martha, as a comparison, not from a bad place, because as we're going to see, both were filled with devotion. Both were not only friends, but followers of Jesus. They loved him. They cared deeply about him. And as we're going to see, Martha wasn't doing bad things. She was devoted to Jesus. She was devoted to following him, devoted to doing all the right things. But she was devoted, but she was also, our first point today, she was distracted. I think in this place, many of us can relate. We're devoted, but we're distracted. We want to serve Jesus with all that we've got. We want to do his ways and his principles, and we want to follow in his leading. We want to abide with him and grow with him. But life's distracting. There's so many things pulling us here or there. And when we start to get busy and distracted, our priorities start to get out of whack, and we start to forget what are the most important things of life. This isn't just a message for ladies, this is a message for all of us. Because how many times have we got distracted by work, by entertainment, by hobbies, that we forgot the ones or the things that matter most? Not even just talking about Jesus, but sometimes family, connections, those we're walking with in discipleship, but ultimately Jesus himself. Because distraction isn't just about being busy, it's about being misaligned with what matters most to Jesus. When we think of distraction, we think of busyness instantly, but what it really comes down to, and we have to look it in the eyes and acknowledge it, is distraction is saying, this matters to me more than what I was putting my focus on before. Because as we said in our other series and other parts of the journey is, we have the choice of what we will put our eyes on, what we'll put our attention to, and what we will focus on. So when we get distracted, when we get over busy, when we get over committed, we are misaligning our priorities from what truly matters most, not only to us, but matters to Jesus. Where we invest our time, where we invest our attention, where we invest our treasure, where we invest our talents shows us where our priorities are. And so we have to lean into this moment, but before we kind of pick on Martha, because it's not a pick on Martha moment, Martha was a good lady. Martha was awesome. She was a devoted follower of Jesus. As you will see later, if you pull through the scriptures and you read through John, Jesus loved Martha and Martha loved Jesus. There was a close bond and connection there. She was a devoted follower, and Jesus doesn't sort of correct and bring correction because she was serving, because serving is good. Caring and doing all of those things, prepping the meals, caring for the needs of Jesus, caring for others in the church, doing all these good things are not bad, but we have to ask ourselves, are they in the right order? Are they aligned? Are we devoted, but a little bit distracted? And that's a question that only we can ask and answer ourselves, because many times in our lives, it's not because we get up today and said, I'm going to be distracted. I'm going to be so busy that I can't do the things that matter most. I don't think you woke up last week or during your week to say, I'm not going to have time to be with my spouse, with my girlfriend, with my boyfriend. I'm not going to have time to be with my kids or to go and shoot hoops. Most of us just slowly drifted from devotion to distraction, because distraction sneaks in subtly. Overcommittedness and caring too much, because most in this culture, and some might argue back on this depending on generations, most in our culture are not lazy, most in our culture are overcommitted. We're carrying too much. We're carrying things that we were never called to carry upon ourselves. We're doing too much. We're multitasking left and right. And how many in this place are good multitaskers? Some of their hands are up. The people next to you are like, you're a liar. Because most of us who think we're really good at multitasking, if you were to ask someone close to us, they're like, you're not as good as you think you are. Because we get into this moment where we're juggling so many things at once. But you ever notice if you're juggling a whole bunch of things, it's really hard to be devoted to one. Because if you've got 10 things up in the air, you've got to pay attention to 10 things. Otherwise, one of those balls will fall, and you ever notice that when one of those balls fall, everything else falls. Why? Because our devotion has drifted to distraction. And do we see this problem in this journey? And as we lean in, we have to realize that a hurried life doesn't just distract us, it will reorder what matters most. If you're always juggling things, if you're always running here and there, always just saying, I got to do the good thing, not checking with God, what is the God thing? It will reorder and reprioritize our lives. How many have noticed that some in this place, you're in the wisdom years? And I was chatting with some even earlier this week, and they said, man, some people have missed some of the beauty of life because they're just so busy. Did you ever notice that, you know, church used to be a day, or Sunday would be a day where people actually came to church? They did this in this journey, and they said, but there's just so many things going on that it's really hard to commit. Ever hear any of those things? Ever experience some of those things? Why? Because we realign our priorities. Because our devotion sometimes drifting to distraction. And we have to acknowledge that truth as we lean into it, because sometimes, and think of this about Martha for a second, and maybe apply it to us even sitting here today. You can be in the house with Jesus and still miss him. You can be doing a lot for Jesus, but still miss being with him. Jesus was in her house. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, was in her house. If Jesus walked into our house today, we know his presence is here, but imagine if we're back then and he walks into her, where should we be? At his feet. Initially, first with him. Jesus, I want to be close to you. I want to be in your presence. I want to learn from you. I want to grow from you. I want to abide with you. He was in her house, but she missed him. She was busy doing a lot of good things, and sometimes in the church world, we can be doing a lot of good things even for Jesus, but miss his presence. Miss truly recognizing when he is here and when he's going. So we have to be realizing that truth, that one of the greatest enemies of devotion is distraction. Because when our priorities get out of order, not only do they steal our devotion, but they create a crowded and frustrated soul. And so it leads us to our second truth today, that often when our devotion drifts to distraction, we become busy. But our busyness that we kind of wear as a pride, like as a badge on our chest, it starts to frustrate us. And we start to see this truth applied, and we see actually in that truth where we see in verse 40. Verse 40 reminds us of this, reading from the NIV. She came to him and asked, this is Martha speaking, Lord, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? Because what had happened is the distraction, the busyness will eventually, the external busyness around us, the external pressure around us will actually create internal chaos. Ever had that? Ever made, this is talking about a friend. We shouldn't even do that. That'd be gossip week. But in one of those things, have you ever had a trip to church on a Sunday morning trying to get everybody here and everybody still to like each other? As you get here, and in those moments, everything looks great, but someone cuts you off, and then internally, you're like, I love Jesus, this is great, the goodness of God is chasing me, you're excited, you're ready to worship with Elijah, you're ready to worship with Yannicka, you're like, this is a great day on the inside, and then all of a sudden, the kids are fighting in the back. I've got three, so they fight a little bit. They're amazing kids, but every once in a while, got two boys that are close in age, and you turn around and you're like, I love you guys and I'm so glad you're here, but my internal happiness is going away. Because the external chaos and external pressure eventually, and the busyness and the chaos that we're around, the distractions that we're around will eventually affect our internal. It creates chaos in our soul. Chaos, it crowds our soul and it frustrates our soul. How many have ever scrolled through and you're having a good day and you get into the death scroll and you're like, how did they get that boat? I wish I had a boat like that. How'd they get that truck? And they all look great for their picture, Mother's Day picture, but we got stains all over our clothes. We spilled the grape juice. We spilled that. Our picture does not look like their picture. You came in feeling pretty good. Then you get affected by the external, and the busyness and distraction how now has frustrated your soul. Ever experiencing that? Ever feel that pressure? because it's the world that we live in. And so we see this truth come into play, that Martha's distraction turns into emotional exhaustion. It's frustrating her soul. And Jesus himself sees this. He goes and he says this in verse 41, "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha,'" or "Martha, Martha, 'you are worried and set and upset over all these details.'" When we get distracted, when we get running here and there, when we get the pressures of life that are mounting, because distraction doesn't bring peace, distractions and overbusyness brings pressure. It starts to weigh you down and force you where it feels like, I'm not enough, I can't do enough, I don't know where to turn, I got to get this ready, and I got to get that ready, and I don't know, I just did all the laundry, but I still got to cook this, and now it's boiling over, and my husband didn't take out the garbage, and he was supposed to do that, I don't want to yell at him because I don't want to do this, and you're running all over the place, and then all of a sudden it says, "Mom, I love you," or "Dad, I love you," and they grab your leg, and they're like, "Just let go." We laugh because we've all been there. Every single one of us in some form or another have been there. Why? Overcrowding, overbusy, distracted, external pressure starts to crack and overcrowd and frustrate our soul. And in that, even when it's a moment of what matters most, maybe that little one or that friend or Jesus even speaking to you saying, "Hey, just come sit with me." And you're like, "I don't have time. Don't bother me today." Why? External pressure, external stimuli will eventually affect us on the inside. It will crowd and frustrate our soul. It affects our inside because it's not just internal struggles, but eventually guess what happens though? Because most of us get to the point where we're like, "I can handle it. I'm gonna bottle it up, control and override. Put it down, push it there, and I'm going to leave it there. I am good. My soul is not crowded. I am not frustrated. I might look like it, but I am not. I'm going to leave it there, and it only affects me because my life only affects me," and we all know that that is a big lie. Because eventually, distraction and busyness, which will crowd and frustrate your soul, will leak into your relationships. We see that truth right away because when your soul is distracted and crowded, your life gets frustrated and cranky. If someone's always telling you that you're cranky, you may be overbusy. Your priorities might be out of alignment. I joke in our family that when I get overtired and overstressed and I've overcommitted, I get cranky. They'll realize, and Jen will sit there and say, "Not a Snickers, you know, you need to go and take a break. You need to say no to something." Because in those moments, what happens is you get so busy, you get so distracted that you forget what matters most. And I think I'm probably preaching to the choir today. That in those moments, we realize this is a real problem in our world, and Jesus was speaking to a real problem of the day, but that problem has not just stopped there, it's continued on. And I think, though, as we're going to see, he gives us a remedy. But before we get to the remedy, we have to dive into what happens even with the relationships. Because busyness and distraction doesn't only make you cranky, make you frustrated, but it actually turns servants into critics. Never in our church, though. Like, wouldn't be here. But think about it. We can be servants, we get frustrated, we get overwhelmed, and we're like, "It is not fair. I'm doing all this work, I'm serving in kids' church, I'm serving as a greeter, I'm serving as an usher. You know what? I'm so tired of Sally Mae or Jimmy Bob or whoever. They don't do anything. They just sit here and smoke, they sit here and take all my air." Did you realize that? Did you notice? They came in late. They came in early. I can't believe it. Why? When we get overcrowded, when we get frustrated in the soul, it leaks out into our relationships and takes what was supposed to be uplifting and edifying, because that's what we're called to do as the body of Christ. Lift one another up, edify, encourage, build them up, bring direction and correction, but do that in a loving way. Instead, it turns us into critics. It sits there and says, "It isn't fair. Make them go and do it." Because what did she say? Martha literally goes and makes those comments. Tell her to do it. She's doing nothing. She's just sitting there, and I'm doing all the work. I'm getting all the preparations for a big deal dinner, and she's just sitting there. Jesus, don't you care? There's already a relational conflict. And Jesus, tell her, the one who's doing nothing, my sister, tell my sister to get up and get going. Nobody's ever said that to a sibling in this place. That's what's happening in this moment. So when we're too busy, we start blaming others for what's happening inside of us and criticizing what's happening around us. Let me repeat that for a second. When we're too busy, we start blaming others for what's happening inside of us and we start criticizing what's happening around us. So how do our distractions and busyness, how can they affect us relationally? Let's see even just from this account. First one, she gets irritated. She gets a little bothered. Martha gets upset and says, it's not fair. Tell her to do it. She starts comparing and getting critical. Martha starts saying, you know, Mary isn't doing anything. I'm doing all the work. Why does she get to sit there and I don't get to do that? She starts questioning. She questions Jesus' care and concern. Lord, don't you care? Ever done that? He gets so busy, overwhelmed, carrying so much, like all the weight of the world's on your shoulders, even though he says, give it to him. And you're like, Jesus, don't you care? Why am I doing this? Why am I running like this? And then finally, we get a little bit controlling and reactive. Tell her to do it. Martha tries to change others' journey instead of pausing and checking her own heart. How often do we tell someone else of what they're doing and what they're doing is wrong before even checking our own heart and checking to see what God's saying to us? So we see this journey as it's moving through because we normally see a regular progression from this. Distracted, worried, anxious, filled with pressure. Now we get upset and then we get critical. But here's the truth as we get ready to move to our final thought. Is our hearts remain and will remain restless until they find rest in Him. St. Augustine of Hippo said that our hearts are always going to feel restless. You can't throw enough balls in the air. You can't do enough. You can't scroll enough to find rest for your soul, rest for your life, peace for your life, hope in the midst of all that's going on, unless you find rest in Him. Jesus knows this. He knows that you and I were created to be in relationship, or the Greek word koinonia, with Him, in communion and close proximity. Yes, we were meant to serve, but we were meant to serve out of love, meant to serve out of relationship with Him. Our serving doesn't bring us closer to Him. Our servanthood, our serving comes out of our connection to Him. So if today you're like, man, this is so much. I'm living a distracted life. I always feel like I got too much on my plate. You feel like you've got a frustrated and restless soul today. No, it's not going to find rest in even a little vacation. It helps sometimes. But the true rest that you're looking to find is found in Jesus Christ. It's found in Him. Being at His feet and in His presence. Sitting there saying, I'm going to have all those things a little bit later, but I need to be with the one my heart chases after. I need to be close and at His feet, finding peace, finding joy. We said today as we transition the service that in His presence, there is joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Not just a little bit of joy, but fullness, overflowing. There's peace that passes all understanding. There's wisdom. There's discernment. There's rest. It is found in Him. He reminds us in John 15 that if we would abide in Him, that we would produce good fruit. It starts with being close to Him, resting in Him first. So it goes to the final truth this morning. Called back to devotion. Because maybe today, and I was joking with Dolores and a few others out in the foyer, and I said, man, I had to preach this to myself a few times first this week. Because anytime I can go and preach something, I got to preach it first to myself. I got to look in the mirror, and I had to be reminded that I'm like, oh, I got to get called back out of my distractions, called back to the devotion, not the doing, but the being. Because rest is not found in the doing, rest is found in being with Jesus. And from that place of relationship, from that place of His presence, then we move to serving out of that. It keeps it realigned. And so this morning, I believe He's calling some of us back to devotion. He's calling us out of our distraction, out of our busyness, and He's calling you by name. Because I believe even right now as we're talking, Holy Spirit is stirring in hearts saying, Pastor might be talking about you as well as him today. He might be reminding, and he's saying your name. And we see that that's what he said. He says, Dear Martha, or another translation, Martha, Martha, in verse 41 and 42, I read it this. But the Lord said to her, My dear Martha, or Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Or there's only one thing that matters most. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus urgently, compassionately, with a caring heart and with grace and love on his words, says, My dear Martha, or Martha, Martha, I got to get your attention. You're busy with all of these things, and all of these things are good. Oh, but the thing that matters most is what your sister already figured out. Come and sit at the feet. He loves us so much that he doesn't leave us in our distraction, but he calls us back to the place of devotion. Today, if you've been walking and you feel like your life has drifted from the devotion to distraction, today he's calling your name, not with an anger in his voice, but with care, concern, and then correction. He wasn't saying what you're doing is evil, what you're doing is wrong, because many times what makes us busy is good things. But he's saying, put me first. Put me back in the right order. His call to Martha and his call to us today is to reorder and realign our priorities, that what matters most would be first, that we would put him first in our journeys, first in our lives, first in the busyness of everything that is going on in our world, that we would say, before the doing, before the making of the supper, before the much serving, I am going to spend time at the feet of the rabbi. I'm going to spend time at the feet of my Savior. I'm going to spend time in his presence. Imagine what would happen with our lives if we did that. He says in Matthew 11 that if we would come to him, we would find rest. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in the Message says that we can learn his rhythms of grace of how to live lightly and freely. I don't know about you, but I would want to live a life that is light and free. It doesn't mean that it's always easy because we're still working, but it means that we understand his rhythms of grace for our lives. We were never meant to be distracted. We were called to be devoted. And he's calling us back today. He's pulling us back. He's reorienting and reordering our priorities of life. I love what A.W. Tozer said. The man who would truly know God must give time to him. Let's say that one more time. The man who would truly know God must give time to him. If we want to know God, we want to know his ways, be transformed by him, we have to actually make time for him and make time for him first. Because being with Jesus is the heart from which all healthy service and life flows. The things that he's laid upon your heart, the things that we've talked about over these last few weeks that he's calling us out of and calling us to, There's work involved. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to do, but that flows first from the heart of knowing Him and being with Him. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being distracted. I'm ready to be called back to being fully devoted. So how do we do it this week? We've got to get practical. I remember Mom, she's with Dad. They're interning at a church, kind of doing what Pastor Keith did here. And I was laughing. I was talking to her a little bit about what I was going to be preaching. And she reminded me of those things. She says, you got to get practical. Because she was always, make sure the steps are there. When I was doing something, she's like, make sure the steps are there. So how do we do this? What are some things that we can do starting today that will call us out of the distraction and call us back to the devotion, that we would hear His voice saying, Curtis, Curtis, David, David, Gail, Gail. First one, sit before you serve. We all know that when we wake up, you're like, the clock's on. It's time to go. Sometimes even when you get up early, you're like, I'm going to beat all the kids up, or I'm going to have those moments where I'm going to have a quiet time where nobody's up, and all of a sudden you're like, that didn't work as planned. Sit before you serve. Before you get all those other things going, take, even for some, it might be 30 seconds, but pause and say, God, I'm going to get quiet. Don't turn on your phone. Don't even turn on music in that moment. Just sit and pause and say, Jesus, I want to meet with you. Take a second to put Him as number one. If you've got a little bit more time, then have that time. But we see Isaiah reminds us of the truth. Be still and know that He is God. Be what? Still. In a world that's all about doing, getting here to there, be still. But it's not productive. I'm not being efficient and effective with my time. Be still and know. Know Him. Know that He's with you, that He's walking through this with you, that He will be your strength, your provision. He will be your healer if you need it. Be still and know before you go, before you serve. Start your day with even just moments of just, okay, I'm going to be still here. Number two, name what's crowding or frustrating your soul. We can't deal with the distraction until we actually know it. For me, it's this. This thing goes off 24/7. So I have to put it on different focuses. I have to put on different things because I know that so many texts and phone calls come through here and I'm like, I should respond right now. But then I realize I'm supposed to be doing this or I'm supposed to be doing that, or it's around supper time and I have to sit there and say, I'm turning it off for right now, because what matters most even in that moment, not only with Him, is my family. So in that time, I've got to sit there and say, I am here. I'm present. So you have to name what is distracting and crowding your soul. If you don't know, ask God, what's stealing my attention from matters most? So this week, write that down. What is stealing my attention from what matters most? What's stealing my devotion? And then what we should do? Bring it to Him. Bring that to Him and say, God, I don't want my much serving, even if it's good, to distract from the things that matter most. I don't want it to be first. I want You to be first. And then as He gives you steps, do number three. Sit, don't strive. This week, sit, don't strive. Choose presence over performance. It might be countercultural to how you feel or what's going on around you, but choose to be in His presence first. Make the hard decision to say, I'm going to choose that He's calling me back and I'm going to choose Him first. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to do. So if you've got a project and you're a deep diver in it, it's a school project, it's a work thing, it's a relational thing, before you do it, say, I am going to dive in with Him first. On my way, as I'm driving there, I'm going to pray and I'm going to lean in. I'm not going to look through the next podcast, the next thing. First, I'm going to spend time with Him because I want His presence more than I want my performance. For some of us, it's going to be hard. Because the battle is what we do is who we are. But our identity is not found in what we do. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ. And this is the reminder. This is what Jesus was reminding. You and I are not what we do. You and I are who we are in Jesus Christ. That we are in Him. That because of Him, we have life. Because of Him, we have freedom. Because of Him, we're able to do those things. He's reordering priorities in this place, I believe, even right now. I don't know about you, church, but I'm ready to go back and sit at His feet and say, here, I just want to meet with you, Jesus. Speak a life into me. Speak a life over me. And then speak a life through me for your glory and for our good. How many are ready to pray and believe that to be the case? If you are, let's stand together. Lord, this morning, we know in this place you are calling us by name. That just like you called Martha, dear Martha, 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 that right now you are calling each and every person in this place and online by name. God, you are reordering and reprioritizing our lives. Lord, today we say we are not going to be distracted that pulls us away from our devotion to you. Lord, if there's things today that have stolen our attention, even good things, even serving, but it's pulled us away from the one thing, which is being in your presence, being close to you, help us. We repent of those things and we turn towards you and we say, we want to sit at your feet to know you more, to learn from you, learn your ways and your truths and your principles, to be empowered by you to then go and serve, not serve so we can be loved, but serve out of your love. So today, from the youngest and the oldest in this place, we're saying we're not going to drift from our devotion, but instead we are coming back. We're coming back to your feet. We're coming back and we're saying all we want is you, Jesus. You are what truly matters most in our lives. And we're not going to be too busy for you anymore. We are fully devoted to you. Holy Spirit, continue to go with us as we leave today. Guide us, lead us. Reveal areas that need to be transformed and give us the strength to walk in that transformation. Lord, let everything we do and say bring glory and honor to you because it's all about you, Jesus. We ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen and amen, amen. Be blessed. Have an amazing week.